In Proverbs chapter 6, again this evening, and we're reading from verses 6 through 11. I'm going to title this section, Ants and Sluggers. This is our second message in the chapter. Proverbs 6, beginning in verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yea, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Father, we thank Thee again tonight for the privilege to be able to come into Thy house with Thy people. And Lord, we ask Your blessings upon the reading of Thy Holy Scripture. And Lord, we pray for Thy presence that You meet with us tonight. We pray, Lord, that You speak to us, guide us, and teach us. Lord, we pray also for the prayer meeting afterwards, Your blessings upon that as well. For it's in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Last week in verses 1 through 5, we are looking at the subject of suretyship. And this evening, we see the issue here of the ant and the sluggard. And we're still reading a father's counsel to his son. And this evening concerning the subject of work and laziness. Now, as we read through the scriptures, there's a number of places that we find that we can learn from nature. In other words, nature will teach us some valuable lessons about life. And to give an example, Job 12, verses 7 and 8, it says, "But ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee." In other words, nature can teach us things if we will observe it. And also in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 1, you can write this down as well. And there's many other places like Matthew 6 and verse 26. But in Isaiah chapter 1, the lesson here that is learned from an animal is to trust the Lord and be appreciative and grateful. And in verse Isaiah 1, verse 1, verse 2 and 3, says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." Speaking of the children of Israel right before the captivity, right before they would be destroyed. But he says in verse 3, he says, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doeth not know, my people doeth not consider." You see, that ox and that ass, they know the owner. They know who feeds them. They know who sustains them. And that ass knows his master's crib, knows where we called it the corn crib, that we kept all the corn, kept it locked, and we got it out as we would need it to feed the animals. But the ass knows his master's crib, and the ox knoweth his owner. In other words, knows who feeds him. Now, as we come here this evening, we see the Lord using the ant as an example of hard work and being diligent in labor. Then we also see the sluggard here. And notice, as we come back to verse 6, he says, "Go to the ant." In other words, consider the ant. Study the ant. "Go to the ant, thou sluggard." In other words, the sluggard here is just someone who is lazy and sorry. And he says, "Consider her ways and be wise." Turn with me to chapter 30. In chapter 30, reading two verses, verse 24 and verse 25. He says in verse 24, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they're exceeding wise. Now he mentions the ant in verse 25, the coney, which is the rabbit, in verse 26, the locust in verse 27, and the spider in verse 28. But we see here the ant. And the ant is a remarkable creature. I'm not so sure about the fire ants. They may be a part of the curse. But the ant is, they're very diligent in business. They're hard workers. And they understand the seasons. We find that an ant is busy, they're wise, they're disciplined, they're diligent. They look ahead as we read some of these passages. They will go far and wide looking for food. They work by instinct, the instinct that God has placed in them. Verse 25, the ants are a people not strong. Now think about that. They are weak, they're feeble, they're small, and yet they get a lot accomplished. He said, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. And so he says, consider the ant. And here in this passage, verse 24 and 25, that they're exceeding wise, even though they're little. Now come back with me to chapter 6. Ants, from what I've read, live for many years without wearing out. They are considered old about 5 or 6 years. And these are some things I read years ago. I don't know whether there's any change in that. I've heard that bees only last about 5 or 6 weeks. Maybe they work themselves to death. But I don't know. But the ants, from what I've read in the past, can live as long as 5 or 6 years. And they can carry up to 50 times their weight over 100 yards. And that is equal to a 200-pound man carrying 5 tons on his back for a distance of 17 miles. And the ants don't even have to lift weights. They're just strong. They're little, but they're strong. And I've read where there's more ants on earth than any other insect. They live and work with in colonies, like in cities. They work with others. They work together. And each colony has 3 kinds of ant: the queen, the workers, and the males. That's interesting. And what I've read, again, these are some old notes, but each has a duty. And some feed and care for the young. Some keep the nest clean. Some store food. And others guard the nest. That's probably the army. And some gather food. So they work very, very well together. And they know the changes of seasons. They know what summer represents. And they know what the harvest is. They know what the winter is. And ants are engineers. Again, they're builders. They can carry heavy loads. And they can construct elaborate tunnels. So they're an amazing creature. So God compares the ant with the sluggard. So he says in verse 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Now this is one of our passages as we've come to now, dealing with the subject of diligence and work and things of that nature. And we're going to run into this often. We will not keep preaching entire messages on it, but we'll keep running into this subject throughout the book of Proverbs. And he says in verse 7, which have no guide, overseer, or ruler. They're doing this based upon instinct, that which God has created them to do. And he says in verse 8, and provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. Before we go. Well, let me just come back here and read these three verses together. And I want to give you some other passages on this, on the ant, before we come to the sluggard. Let's read these three again. He says here, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise, which have no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest." Then we come to the sluggard. "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." So we have the ant given to us in a good light, and we can find wisdom in considering the ant. But we have here now the sluggard. And again, we're going to keep seeing this word. This word is mentioned a total of 6 times in the book of Proverbs, and the word slothful or slothfulness is mentioned 12 times. And I'm just going to give them to you here. We're not going to come back and, again, do a whole message on all of these. But I'm going to try to read these. Since we've come into this pretty much for the first time, I'm just going to try to read. Twice here in this chapter, we have the word sluggard. Also, and I'm just going to turn and read a lot of these, chapter 10 and verse 26. "Now, what is a sluggard? Well, it speaks of laziness. Sluggish individual who is habitually inactive, not taking responsibilities and fulfilling their duties." In other words, they're just lazy. If you just want one word, they're lazy. And again, this word is mentioned 6 times in Proverbs, and in each case it is condemned. And the word slothful and slothfulness is mentioned about 12 times. In chapter 10 and in verse 26, it says, "As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him." And you know what smoke to the eyes does, and vinegar to the teeth. In chapter 13 and in verse 4, it says, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat." In other words, they'll be blessed. And the sluggard will be begging. In chapter 20 and verse 4, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing." In other words, excuses. Too cold outside to go out and work. And then we find this again in chapter 26 and verse 16. 26 verse 16. And it said, "The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than 7 men that can render reason." In other words, he thinks he's wise and his excuses. And by the way, a sluggard will have a ton of excuses. And we know, and I'll give you the verses in a few moments to remind you, that a man that will not work, neither should he eat. He should not be given handouts and be given food if he's not willing to get up and go to work. Well, let me give you some verses on slothfulness. And again, when we come to them, we'll make some comments on them. In chapter 12, and we know what the word slothful means. And we know what a sloth is. We know what slothfulness is. In chapter 12 and in verse 4, I'm sorry, chapter 12, verse 24, be patient with me, said, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." In other words, under some form of slavery. In chapter 20, in this same chapter, verse 27, The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. In other words, he wouldn't even roast or cook or bake what he has taken in. We find this word again in chapter 15 in verse 19. It said, the way of the slothful man is as an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. Again in chapter 18 and in verse 9. Chapter 18 and in verse 9, he also that is slothful in his work is a brother to him that is a great waster. Is that not true? Those who are lazy and slothful and a sluggard, they're also a waster. We find this again in chapter 19. Chapter 19 and verse 15, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Chapter 19 and in verse 24, a slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. In other words, he's so lazy, he don't even want to feed himself. And then in chapter 21, verse 25, it says, the desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. We find it again in chapter 22 and verse 13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. In other words, again, it's one excuse after another. These little excuses here and there just keeps leading to more excuses. We see this again in chapter 24. Chapter 24, verses 30. Actually, you can just write down verse 30 through 34. And it says here, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and thistles, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well, and I looked upon it and received instruction, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Almost exactly like one verse we just read. Then we find it another time, three different verses in chapter 26, verse 13, 14, and 15. And we just found the sluggard in this verse also. But here it is, verse 13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the street. Again, excuses. And in verse 14, as the door turneth upon his hinges, so doeth the slothful upon his bed. And then in verse 15, the slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth. In other words, it's too much effort. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. They're just sorry individuals, and they need to repent and get saved and, you know, be obedient to the Bible. Now, back in chapter 6. Now, this can be repented of as any other sin. And I've seen people do it. I've seen people that were slothful and lazy. I've seen them get saved and get right with the Lord. And I've seen them be tremendous providers for their family. And so this can be repented of if somebody wants to follow God. Now, let's come back and let's read verses 9 through 12. Again, verses 9 through 12. He says here, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? But again, this is the lazy man, the sluggish individual who is inactive. In verse 10, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Again, the lazy man's rationale. Give me just a little more sleep. Let's push the snooze button just 8 more times this morning. And then, notice in verse 11, and by the way, slugs, how many know what a slug is? They are known for their slowness and are a very slimy creature. moving so slow and leaving a slime path behind them. Now, God created the slug for some reason, you know, and He uses them as an example for people. I was talking to my sister, Wanda, in Canada, this afternoon, or this morning, and I don't know how this come up, but it did, and so I guess maybe I was telling her what I was preaching on. She said they have a banana slug there in Vancouver Island, where she lives at, and she's actually sent me a picture, you know, of it. And but slugs basically look a little bit like a snail, but don't have a shell. And like I say, and I was telling her, I said, I don't know why God created them. I said, I don't know what the reason is. There's some things you just don't know. Maybe they're part of the curse, like the thorn. And she said, maybe they're a food source for another creature. I said, well, that may be it. I don't know. But they're useless and they're aggravating. Human slugs. That's what the Scriptures is talking about here. Human slugs, lazy people, idle people, disgusting people who are bums and will not work. Again, must be repented of. Must be repented of. Then he says in verse 11, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want or thy lack as an armed man. And the point in this chapter is that the poverty and the hardship is going to come like a thief in the night. In other words, the consequences of being a sluggard is eventually it's like someone being robbed at gunpoint. In other words, your end is not good. That's the bottom line here. Now quickly turn with me to Psalms 104. Let me give you just a few other verses before we wrap this up. In Psalms 104. Now when we read beginning in the Scriptures in Genesis chapter 1, we know that in verse 26 to 31, that before the fall, before sin entered the world in the original creation, we find that God created man in His own image, and He's commanded in the original creation to work. And even after the fall, well, let me back up just a minute. In Genesis 2 also, verses 1, 2, and 3, God rested on the seventh day. God is the worker, and He's still working. He provided the work of redemption for us. He's still working in our lives. And God put man in the garden in Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 15 through the end of the chapter, and put him in there to dress it and to keep it. In other words, He gave him a vocation before sin ever entered into the world. Well, after sin entered into the world, in Genesis chapter 3, we find that in verse 16, 17, and 18, God says you're still going to work, but it's going to be more complicated and more hard. We know about the thorns and the thistles and the sweat of the brow and so forth. And then a part of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, we find there in verses 8 through 11, again, God even says how many days that man will be working. So this is we're talking about biblical work ethics. We're talking about the theology of work. We're not to be a sluggard. We're not to be slothful. We're not to be idle. As a matter of fact, one of the sins of Sodom, you know, when we think of Sodom, we think mostly of sodomy, and we think of that wicked sin, but there were several other sins that are listed. In Ezekiel 16, verse 49, one of the sins, well, one of them was pride, but one of the sins was an abundance of idleness. That's one of the sins. Before you get to the immorality, there was pride and fullness of bread and abundance of idleness. That those are the things that help lead them into the wicked sin that they were in. We know that in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 18 speaks of laziness and a man's house just falling apart and being destroyed because he's lazy. In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, whatsoever thou doest, whatever thou put thy hand to, do it with all thy might. Give it everything that you got. Like the ant, you know. And Also in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, a man that will not provide for his own is worse than an infidel. In 1 Thessalonians 4:11, I'll just give you these because we've studied these. We'll be back in this again before we finish 2 Thessalonians. Also in chapter 5 and verse 14, the unruly there in that passage basically refers to one that will not work. Then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 12, 15, again, he covers that. It's covered several times in those two books. I'll give you two other passages before we read here. But in Romans 12 and verse 11, and speaking of spiritual gifts and our Christian life, that we're to be diligent and not slothful in business, to be diligent in business. Then Hebrews 6, verses 10 through 12 teaches us that as we work and we work for the Lord, He's going to, as we minister to others and be a help to others and so forth, that God is not, He will not forget our labor. But He tells us in that text, He uses the word slothful. Don't be slothful, but be diligent in our labor. Well, notice here, in Psalms 104, and this whole chapter is dealing with God's wonderful works from creation, dealing with how He cares for all of His creation, how He, even verse 10, 11, 12, 13, He sends springs into the valleys and which run among the hills and give drink to the beast and the wild asses and so forth. And verse 12 speaks of the fowls of the heaven, how that He provides for them. But I want to read from verses 19 through 24 and close here in this text. And I want you to notice that God originally created man to work. And from verse 19, it says, Psalms 104, verse 19, it says, He appointed the moon for seasons, the sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun arises, and they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Now notice the daytime, verse 23. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. Now verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Verse 23, I wanted to read the surrounding text, but verse 23, man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. God has created us to work. Obviously, it was probably much more enjoyable and easier before sin entered into the world, especially with the temperatures. You can imagine that in the Garden of Eden, the paradise of God. Well, let us stand. Father, thank You again this evening for Thy Word and Thy truth. I pray that we will be obedient to it, attentive to the words of Holy Scripture. Lord, we ask Your blessings now upon the prayer meeting to follow, the prayer request that will be lifted up this evening. Lord, we pray again, simply Thy will to be done in each of our lives. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.